what do we take away from this kind of political story? Accidental politician, the beneficiary of the American dream, or how do you spin it?
Well, first, it's just a fascinating story, Mark, and I wanted to write a biography, and I thought, gee, this is someone you'll want to write about because of his own personal saga for all the reasons that you just described and more. But it's also a story that is emblematic of other things happening in American society, the rise of Hispanic politics, the new third rail of American politics, immigration reform, the role that Mel played there, and the continuing resonance of the American dream saga. Mel has quite a personal story, and he used that, and others, George W. Bush, used that story as well for political purposes, and it served them rather well.
What's the most fascinating thing about Mel Martinez for you?
I think what I'm intrigued with Mel is the way in which he crossed boundaries between the Anglo world and the Hispanic world, and then also cross boundaries between the Cuban-American culture and the broader Hispanic culture. You know, when Mel came here alone at age 15 on the Pedro Pan program, he came to Central Florida rather than to Miami. And I think that made all the difference in the world, that he was forced to assimilate very quickly. Living with foster parents who did not speak Spanish, going to Bishop Moore Catholic High School with 11 other Pedro Panners, where he was forced to assimilate and become part of their world. Later on, Puerto Ricans come to Orlando. Mel was always in the minority as a Cuban within the Hispanic community. And so he learns not only to speak unaccented English, he learns to speak unaccented Spanish as well. There's a dropping of the S and a trilling of the R's that Cubans do that he dropped. And so here this guy is who transcends his own origins. And there are many interesting things about that, but one is the fascinating role that he played as a bridge builder between Democrats and Republicans as a United States Senator, a freshman playing a key role in trying to push for the adoption of immigration reform and addressing the problem of the roughly 13 million illegal immigrants that we have in the United States, none of whom are Cuban and most of whom are Mexican-American.
Come back to early Mel Martinez. Do you think things would have turned out much differently if he had landed in Miami?
Yes, absolutely. If Mel had landed in Miami, you know, he still would have been, the great guy that he is. But I think that he would not have been the kind of bridge builder that he came to be. His politics would have been different, his temperament perhaps. I don't think that he could have been elected to statewide office.
You take that American dream of Mel Martinez and you have kind of framed it in the spectrum of two major influences in the political theology, Machiavelli and Max Weber. How do you put Mel Martinez through that spectrum?
Well, you know, Max Weber is the founding father of sociology and has this famous article entitled Politics is a Vocation. And in it, he writes about this new phenomena of an elected official at a time when, you know, democracy was emerging. And he said that, well, you've got to somehow blend judgment and passion in a politician. And that's what's key is the passion required to attract a following, but also the good judgment to do what's rational and avoid demagoguery. And I view the Mel Martinez story through that lens. You know, Machiavelli is interesting in a different way because he says that politicians are and should be different from ordinary citizens, that their morality should be different. And as well, he talks about the role of chance or circumstance or good fortune in life. And Mel certainly benefited from that. So I use both Weber and Machiavelli as lens through which to view the fascinating story of the life of Mel Martinez.